Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Tonight, as we know, it is still the month of Women's Month. Just this past Saturday, we celebrated Women's Day in South Africa, where we know significant strides were made by the likes of Sonia Debrain, Mamluleni Ngoyi, and many other women who marched to the Union Buildings back in the 1950s to fight for women's recognition and rights and not carrying a dompas. However, as we shift that gender lens now, whilst we celebrate and experience the political free will that we're able to enjoy, given the efforts that were made by those female leaders of the past, what does it look like when it comes to the gender leadership gap? Yes, we might have employment. Yes, we might have a seat at the table. But how significant is it in terms of the numbers, the contribution and the value add? To help us unpack this further, we're joined by Ayabulela Quzu, ESG and Impact Analyst at Sanlam Investments. Ayabulela, such a pleasure to have you.
Good evening, Guguletu, and good evening to Kaya Biz listeners.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm excited by this conversation because there's a lot of data that backs it up, right? There's facts, there's figures, and most importantly, a key objective as to how this speaks to social development under ESG. And maybe let's just start there. When we take a look at gender leadership in the workplace, so often we just think it's about having a seat at the table, but the metrics we're going to discuss will give us a better perspective as to why this matters, not only on the business agenda, but throughout the development of economies the world over.
Yes. And, when we talk about the leadership gap, Google, we are talking about the space between where we are now and where we should be when it comes to women in top decision-making roles in South Africa. And the reality is we are still way behind. So right now, women make up just 27.5% of top management and 38% of senior management roles across all sectors in South Africa. So this was according to the Commission for Employment Equity report that was released earlier this year. And on the JSE front, women just hold 36% of board seats and only 10% of CEO positions are held by women. So this is not just about fairness, although that is important. It's also about missed opportunities. More diverse leadership leads to better decision making, more innovation, and frankly, stronger financial performance, like you mentioned.
And maybe let's deep dive even further into that, right? The metrics or the arguments that speak to a heightened level of gender equity within leadership. Help us understand why this makes good business sense.
There's plenty of research out there, and it is quite clear on the business imperative for companies when it comes to representation. So, for instance, there was a McKinsey report that was released in 2023, which analyzed more than 1,200 companies in 23 countries, looking at the correlation between gender transformation and financial performance. And the research showed that companies in the top quartile and when it comes to gender diversity are 39% more likely to outperform their peers financially. So on the flip side, those in the bottom quartile are 66% less likely to do well. So another research which was done by Morgan Stanley found something similar. Companies with better gender balance outperform by about 1.6% per year on average over a 10-year period between 2011 and 2021. So yeah, the business imperative is quite very clear.
I'm glad that you highlight this because, as you mentioned, there's an alignment in terms of local data that speaks to this prioritization, but also international data from the likes of Morgan Stanley, McKinsey that you've referenced, that also highlight how this plays a critical role. When you take a look at these various reports, are we finding that in as much as progress is being made, but there are more concerted efforts, policies, structures, and initiatives to drive this growth?
I think the response here is twofold. First, let's talk about maybe what companies themselves can do, because there are some low-hanging fruits they can start with. So we already have sector-specific frameworks that set the tone. For instance, we have the Financial Sector Conduct Code and the Mining Charter, both of which outline how companies should be performing when it comes to diversity and inclusion. On top of that, we actually have the amended Employment Equity Act, which now introduces minimum thresholds for transformation. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to legislation, there is guidance. Now, the challenge for companies become implementation. So internally, companies can should focus on building strong leadership or leadership pipelines. That means proper succession planning, measurable and actionable targets, and ensuring that training and development opportunities, particularly for women, are available and accessible. So in the work that we're doing, we're already seeing that more companies offering targeted leadership training for women, which is a good start. So another important issue here is actually linking transformation outcomes to executive remuneration and how we have seen companies do this successfully. This sends a strong signal that diversity is a strategic priority, not just a compliance exercise. Mm. The second part of the question here is us, which are the investors. So for instance, at Sanlam Investments, we have stewardship powers where we hold companies accountable through active engagement, proxy voting, and how we actually allocate capital. We also make it clear to companies that gender transformation performance is part of how we assess long-term value. So I know this is quite a long-winded answer, but this combined pressure from regulation, internal action by the company, and investor scrutiny is how I believe we can close the gender leadership gap in a meaningful way.
Yeah, Ayabulela, this is so important. And trust me, your responses are necessary because it helps us get a better understanding of the depth and the analysis and the importance of this conversation. Because as you say, you know, this is not just appointing woman for woman's sake. It makes business sense. It makes societal sense and also speaks to equity that we need within our workspaces. What I find so refreshing is that as you represent Sanlam Investments, I'm assuming that, you know, as a business, you've mentioned that you do hold businesses accountable to the level of growth and transformation that they're able to achieve. I'm keen to understand not only how you do this at Sanlam Investments, even at a global level, if we are seeing that your peers and counterparts are actively prioritizing gender equality in leadership and focusing it on ESG and impact, largely the S coming through from the ESG.
So as allocators of capital, there's a lot that we are currently doing. So on the impact side, we're actually investing more money in companies that have strong gender representation or female lead. So that's on the impact side. But on the risk side, we also assess companies who are actually lacking in when it comes to transformation. And that is where we actually use our stewardship power, like I said earlier, where we hold companies accountable and set meaningful targets on how they actually set meaningful targets for transformation at an ESG risk point of view. So we approach it from an ESG risk perspective, where we pressure companies to incorporate gender transformation strategy. And on an impact side, we actually allocate capital to companies who are female-led.
Got you. That's important because at least it does translate into the business decisions that are taken. Ayabulela, I'm perhaps going to close this off on a very selfish note. I'm a woman, hosting a business show, an industry that has been dominated by men before. And, you know, we've also had to put in the work to make sure that we can sit at the table and have these conversations with yourselves so that this doesn't become a men versus woman, he versus she debate. And of course, not ostracizing members of the LGBTQI community either. How do we make sure that this is an objective that all stakeholders participate in and want to be progressive in?
I think we should address one thing. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that there aren't enough qualified women to fill senior roles or leadership roles, which is simply not true. We have no shortage of capable, qualified women in South Africa. And we see that in management levels where there's higher gender representation in junior and middle management levels. However, when you go higher into the senior and top management levels, that representation is low. So that is where we should start with how effective are the company's internal pipelines when it comes to succession planning and holding them accountable there.
100%. Thank you so much, Ayabulela. Siyabulela nathi.
Inkosi kakhulu sisi, inkosi.
Inkosi butwam, ayabulela Quzu, the ESG and impact analyst at Sanlam Investments, helping us understand, you know, how best it is that we need to look at the leadership gap, the gender leadership gap that exists in businesses right across the world. There's reports from international institutions, Morgan Stanley, McKinsey, and of course here in South Africa as well, to fundamentally make sure that more women need to be represented at executive leadership of businesses, in our boards as well. And fundamentally, it's not just about having a woman do the job because she's a woman. We are fully capable, but fundamentally, we do need to open up more opportunities for leadership development, skills and training development, and those opportunities to be opened up. And it's not a gender fight that we're having. It's not about he and her and she versus him. It's really just about making sure that we build up the opportunity of having more capable individuals at the table, thus driving and fostering the necessary societal shifts that we need to see, which fundamentally do, as the data shows, lead to better business outcomes.
Kaya Biz with Kuguletu Mfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.